Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 280 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson, sending you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
Talking today about our predictions for We Are Friends, No Escape, and a little bit of trivia. A few debate topics here. We're talking about 50 Shades of Grey getting a new director, George Miller possibly taking on the sequel for Man of Steel, reviews for Fantastic Four, Vacation, Chappie, Maggie, and the unauthorized Full House story that aired last night on the Lifetime channel. Also, trailers. We got The Witch, Victor Frankenstein, The Green Inferno, Turbo Kid, and The Keeping Room. We got a packed show today, so let's jump right into it.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Yeah. So I lost. I got spanked pretty hard.
And I was the one that did the spanking.
Because again,
thank you and call you Poppy.
You spanked me and call me Poppy? Isn't
no,
that
no,
weird?
No. You call backwards. Me Poppy while I spank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that sounds more right.
That's how Pedro says it.
Wow. That's a lot of information. So I didn't go back and edit my numbers like I should have. And,
yeah, you should have weaseled it. You didn't weasel it this week.
I didn't. I had other things going on. I lost track of it, and I paid the price.
Because you thought American Ultra was going to do 13.5. You scoffed at me when I said 6. It did even less than that, so there was really 4
luckily,
people per screening.
Luckily, these are all small numbers, so everything, I still get points for all of this.
Yeah, you get sympathy points.
I still get points, yeah. But yeah, American Ultra, I can't believe, I guess 13-something million, this obviously did, less than half of that. And I can't believe that no one went, no one went to Zaw. I mean, literally no one. I was already guessing no one was going to go see it.
Yeah, the 7 people that saw it in America apparently didn't like it and told no one. So wow. Looking forward to this weekend. I don't think we have too many or really any big breakout success here. We have No Escape, which I think I told you about this earlier in the week. Something bizarre happened this week where they had one showing of this film on Wednesday night at 7:30 showing down the street.
Which
from,
is weird.
But they had renamed it The Coup. It's bizarre. I'm dead serious. They had renamed it The Coup.
It must have been a test screening.
For what? I thought it was. I thought they were dumping this onto home video at some point. They had scuttled
3,000 screens, apparently. No, this whole weekend was supposed to be wide open. You literally surprised me when I came in here to this podcast and saw We Are Friends on here. I was like, good Lord, what the fuck happened? I thought there were no wide releases this weekend. At least 2 weeks ago, there was nothing. So these two must have moved in after. Yeah, obviously, there's nothing playing. The strongest movie out there right now is Straight Outta Compton. This in its third weekend is going to be. Pretty far down, so there's going to be just open screens.
Yeah, things are shedding screens right now. Fantastic Four, obviously, is one of them that's losing.
Yeah, there's no holdovers. Yeah, right, so.
So we got We Are Friends, which is, or We Are Your Friends, which is a Zac Efron EP. What is this, like the rave scene kind of movie?
Whatever. This is Magic Mike. We're going to try it again, except with DJs.
I don't think this is going to be nearly as successful. Only opening on about 2,300 screens, so this is semi-wide. This isn't the 3,000.
Semi-wide, that's wide.
What's the 3,000 screen marker, which I always consider to be ultra-wide. But regardless, I don't think this opens very good at all. I'm going to say $9 million for this one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's no room for it.
I'm going to say $11 million, but that's just guessing.
Splitting hairs there. No Escape, which actually comes out on came out last Wednesday for one screening called The Coup.
Now it comes out Wednesday.
It comes out Wednesday. Under
we're
the
only doing
no
the
Escape.
3-day.
Yeah, so this is only for the 3-day. Yeah, Friday.
This is not The Coup.
Yeah, this is
maybe
this
it is. Maybe The Coup was. they're releasing No Escape after they released The Coup.
Oh, maybe it is a fucking press screening. I'm not really sure what it was, but regardless,
it was a failed coup, is what it was.
This is a failed attempt at making Owen Wilson an action star again or Pierce Brosnan relevant. So I'm saying $3 million for the 3-day portion.
Yeah, right now I'm at 6. And we could go lower. 3,000 screens, I think, at this point for this kind of movie doesn't matter. And it always reminds me of the David Duchovny submarine movie that came out really wide. What was even the name of that? The Phantom? Phantoms,
yeah.
Yeah. And it did about, you know, 2 or 3 million or something like that. And it came out really ultra wide, almost 3,000, I think, screens. And it's just a case of right place, right time, right? Almost.
Yeah, end of summer, a lot of open screens and a lot of things failing right now at the box office. No real hold this weekend outside of Compton and Mission Impossible. Everything else fell pretty dramatically. So get into the box office ace prediction game. Go over to the website. Get in. It's not too late. We got a tight race right now. It's about 4 or 5 major players.
You can beat me for sure.
I'm doing it again this weekend, hopefully. So that's my goal.
Only if I let you.
Here's some trivia for you. Let's get into this one. Last week you said it was too easy. So this week it might be
hard trivia. Even easier?
It might be even easier. I think it's even easier, but
really,
Harrison Ford, who's Indiana Jones, of course, you know, the Indiana Jones. He should never be replaced. It's the Indiana Jones. He has shared the screen twice with James Bond, former James Bonds. Or current James Bonds, or one time James Bonds, or James Bond affiliates. What two James Bonds?
Two. Well, I mean, the one's obviously Sean Connery, but...
What's the movie? In the movie?
Indiana Jones, the third one.
Yeah, well, that'll pass in this Last Crusade. So you can get a technical pass.
I would have remembered the Last Crusade eventually. I'm trying to think of what the fuck... You know, the problem with Harrison Ford is he's done a lot of weird movies that I just don't...
Well, it's not the one with Brendan Fraser, I'll tell you that.
I just don't... which one was Brendan Fraser?
That Extreme Measures or Desperate Times?
See what I mean? Oh, yeah, exactly. God. I mean, this one's hard because I can't... I mean...
Oh, this one's hard. I'm sorry.
He may have been, you know, Indiana Jones and Han Solo, but, you know, other than that, he's just been drugged through the dirt.
You want to come back to this one? You want to circle back to this?
No, I'm not going to know. So just
the other one was Daniel Craig in Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, see, and totally out of my mind, but shitty movie. So
yeah, really underachieving movie. So there we go. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with the debate or our conversation topic for today.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everybody. On behalf of Nick, Joe, and Vern, we would like to invite you back for a brand new season of the As You Watch podcast.
In our upcoming season, we will be talking about franchises, trilogies, and series of movies that you will recognize and some that you may not.
We will also continue to post fun and insightful interviews with many people in the world of entertainment, as well as feature a lot of great guests from other sites and podcasts.
So be sure to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and on Facebook.
And don't forget to check out our older episodes on our site, asyouwatch.wordpress.com.
Go to MovieMavericks.com for all your movie needs. It's pretty, like me.
MovieMavericks.com.
Can someone tell me what the hell a movie maverick is?
Yeah,
I had to play that one because you keep writing all those reviews on there, and I think people should go read them. Go to MovieMavericks.com because we don't have Roger Ebert anymore, but you definitely channel Roger Ebert in your reviews, and people should read that shit.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We keep it up to date, hopefully. We got some things to talk about in the news today. So finally, some things that are interesting happening out there. One is that Dwayne Johnson is continuing his ascension to be the most liked entertainment figure of all time. I mean, this guy is just
who doesn't
everywhere.
Like him? Even if he makes shitty movies till the end of time, you'd like him still, right?
You know what's interesting somehow about Johnson's career is I think certain movies that he made maybe even 5-10 years ago, if they had been released now at his height of popularity, they probably might fare better. Walking Tall, even Snitch, which I thought was really
I would
underrated.
Agree with you, except Faster. That I don't think it's true.
No, you don't think so? You think they
still Faster's horrible.
I agree, but
I think that I mean just I would say that you know he's kind of on the Jason Statham track for a lot of his films. I just don't think they have a shot out the gate, you know, even with him in it.
Yeah, they're starting to
like Walking Tall. I just don't think will ever matter.
But
it's
the
a
Rundown,
great
is,
fucking movie. The Rundown's fucking great. Yeah,
it was, but it was never seen by. I mean, compared to the Scorpion,
I don't
King
think it would work today. Buckets. I don't think it works in this market. I mean, those movies time and time again fail. You know, and they're wonderfully great, but people will not go see them. It doesn't matter who's in them.
The Rundown is an overlooked gem, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
We have him, though. He's going to take over another Disney franchise, hopefully, a franchise starter here. He's taken over quite a few, but now he's going to be doing the Jungle Cruise movie, which they're setting into motion as a possible. After Tomorrowland really didn't materialize into a franchise or any sort of.
Well, that's great. I wish they would make the Jurassic Park ride at Universal into a movie. I mean,
I wish they were missing out on that Jaws one. Ride in general. Yeah. I mean. We still doing the Jaws ride? It's like, oh, look, on the tour, there's Norman Bates. How scary.
Are we still making rides into movies and punch Norman Bates at this point? Throat. Can Disney not have enough with just, I mean, I don't want a Jungle Cruise movie. I don't.
You're talking
I don't
about,
want it to exist.
I want you
know?
To close your eyes
I
and
don't
imagine
want it to exist.
3 summers from now, when you look at the summer slate or the yearly slate, and Disney has 4 Star Wars movies, 3 Avengers movies,
I really
Avengers
hate Disney
movies,
right
and
now.
Two
I really hate them.
Stuff.
They're going to drag everything through the mud, and they're not going to give a shit, and they're going to make hundreds of billions of dollars off this, and no one's going to realize until it's too late, until everything's ruined, and nothing's special anymore, and no one gives a shit.
I'm just hoping The Force Awakens is really what people are building it up to be in a
Phantom
Menace situation.
Yeah, I know.
Because we don't know yet. I mean, this was the exact kind of rhetoric that I heard before Phantom Menace was released. So.
But a lot of the Rogue One spinoff sounds great, so at least I have that to look forward to.
Right. Well, Dwayne Johnson, like I said, will be taking over this possible franchise, and headlining it. We also have George Miller, who's rumored to be returning to the superhero franchise that he was dabbling in about 15 years ago. Remember, he was attached to do Batman versus Superman or Justice League over a decade ago. He's now been in the talks to take over the Man of Steel sequel.
Please let it happen. Please let it happen.
I would
Please
love to see
Please let
that.
It happen.
You might have a sequel that outshines the original. I mean, which
you
would
might.
Be hard to do.
What do you mean, might? Yeah, I'd say you would for sure. Oh my God! Please let it happen.
I know this guy really has an eye for. I know you still haven't seen Mad Max.
DC needs, but
move.
I've seen Mad Max. I've seen his work before.
Right.
DC needs something special. God, you need something special so bad, DC. Come on, because you have some great fucking superheroes, right? They actually have, in my opinion, obviously aside from Iron Man, who's been one of my favorites before the movies came out. But the DC superheroes are just fucking better than the Marvel ones. They just are.
We live in such a strange time. I
just
gotta share
my opinion.
With you. I'm listening to two kids the other day talking about Straight Outta Compton, and they're debating certain things about the movie, and it was a fairly intellectual debate for their age. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is bizarre. In our growing up, we had an East Coast versus West Coast.
I remember
kind of,
it. I know. That was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Everybody talked about it. Do you know what those kids are talking about today? Marvel versus DC.
Of course.
I mean, I can't tell if that's
but
progress
we
or
had
the
those,
evolution.
I don't know. We had those conversations as well back then.
These kids
it
are
feels 17, like,
18 having these conversations. They're grown.
We just had this conversation right now.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
We're on a movie podcast right now. I mean, I agree with you. The whole idea of marketing and of selling things to people has become so great that you're never growing up, right? You're always wanting to just stay a kid and just buy all this neat shit all the time. Yeah. It's true though, right? I mean, tell me I'm wrong. I'm not. You always want to be a kid. You know, the idea of like, you have to get people in when they're young, you know, then you have a customer for life. You know, they really clamp onto you.
This is why we are still getting things like a Masters of the Universe movie in the making and things like that, you know, because of these attachments we have to certain properties and they're trying to force it down.
Sure,
us,
and the things we're missing out on that little kids are watching today will be, I'm sure in 30 years from now, will be coming up for adults and stuff.
Movie, and I was never part of the Turbo Rangers generation, so, you know, I'm mystified by that.
Well, I hated Power Rangers shit, but yeah.
I'm a Ninja Turtles man if I die, you know what I mean?
Yes.
By the way, did you read that article? This is kind of off topic, but not really. It's from a movie podcast. There's a Rolling Stones article today, or a tidbit that was released, that Axel Foley, please don't, good God. Axel Foley is a fictional character in Beverly Hills Cop. Axel Rose is a real life person who used to sing in a band. Now, Axel Rose, one time, delayed a concert over an hour because he was too busy watching the videotape of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2. Did you ever hear this story?
I haven't heard it, but I believe it.
Yeah, I can absolutely believe it. I mean, he left, I guess, a concert hall of 40,000 people waiting Well, he was finishing up the movie on VHS in the back room.
He's always been a dick like that. I mean, that's actually very believable.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. He was doing the ninja rap back there.
The Ninja practicing. Turtles too. That's like, that's on the track to family. You know, that was definitely the more family one. And then the third one was even worse.
I was already too cool for school to watch the third one when it came out. You know, it was like I was already at that age.
I agree as well. Yeah, me too. And well, plus it was so kiddy.
It was goofy. Yeah, it was really goofy.
Way so family oriented. The second one was definitely pushing in that direction.
We have a 50 Shades, not only a sequel, but really two more coming at us.
Is that 100 Shades?
Like how I did that. Did you see what I just wrote there?
100 Shades, 150 Shades.
100 Duckings.
It's not 3D coming at you, right? They didn't have that 3D porn. I've never seen. Where do you get 3D porn at? That was my question.
I got to share. Let me share a story with you.
Oh, you got some 3D
I'm
porn.
I'm off story. Now I'm talking 3D porn. Let me tell you a story.
You got so, some. I want to know who's seen friend. This shit. I want to see some 3D porn.
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, okay?
Oh, God, did you watch it with all those guys?
No. That's a different type of story. This guy tells me he's on a first date with his broad. And his old man has this beautiful home theater setup. Now, his old man is a very wealthy, to-do guy, but he's at late night, he smokes a lot of weed and watches TV on the 70-inch TV he's got in, like, his man cave. Well, my buddy's on this date, and he says, hey, we should get a drink, and I'll take you over and meet my old man. And he's up right now. We can smoke some weed and whatever. So he goes, and he's not about to walk in on the old man. Well, the old man's sitting there watching 3D porn. He's trying to pause the fucking thing in the whole nine. So
he's got the glasses on and shit.
My buddy says he's trying to hit any fucking button just to make the shit go stop. You know?
At least I'm just waiting because, you know, the worst, what's worse than that is obviously the next step in porn, which is virtual reality porn. And the thing about that is that they'll be wearing the helmet. They might not even know when you come in the room, right? Well, yeah,
there's gonna be fucking a lamp. They don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
This girl's really scared.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, hopefully he won't be listening to this podcast. And I just blasted that out to about 40,000 people. But, you know, so sorry about that, bud. But that's a great story.
That lives forever on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Oof, digital footprint. So we got 50 Shades coming at you here with James Foley behind the camera. Now, I'm just wondering, does this mean that we're going to get Cody Deal in the lead role? Because wasn't James Foley a big Cody Deal supporter?
I don't know. Why? How? Wait, how is James Foley? Wait, what?
If you recall, huh. James Foley and your boy Cody Deal, he wrote a letter for him vouching for Die Hard, and that role with the Jai Courtney.
Was that the story? Yeah, no, I remember the Die Hard Jai Courtney thing. I didn't remember it was James Foley.
This is the man behind some great movies and some also not so great movies. I mean, he's made The Corruptor, but he's also made Glengarry Glen Ross, so...
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about Cody Deal.
Cody Deal is the man from Almighty Thor.
He played Thor.
Well, in the Asylum version.
Yeah, for a low-budget stuff, I think Cody Deal would be great, but I don't know. I don't think he has any acting chops at all above that. But he is likable.
Jai Courtney in the lead.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jai Courtney any day than Cody Deal. That's saying something.
Have you seen this 50 Shades yet? Did you watch it?
No, it's on my queue, but I keep putting things above it. I really want this Chris Farley movie and a couple other things. So
yeah, well, 50 Shades, just get it over with.
Well, they think I'm on a 4-out plan instead of a 3-out, so I'm loving it right now. Love you, Netflix. Thanks for the computer glitch. I love it.
No, you son of a bitch. You're getting my extra fucking
keep getting
movie.
An extra
only
movie.
Like, they're on the same account. We know you guys are sharing a streaming account. We're not giving you shit.
Ooh, don't tell them that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we don't do that.
Shh, no. I got an old account, so it's good.
Thank goodness no one's listening.
Can't get rid of that shit. 4 screens and it's HD. Oh, my God. You can't even get that anymore.
No. You're going to get us caught.
Bragging about my old Netflix streaming account.
Let's talk about things that we've seen this week since I've made a couple trips to the theater, and I think you've caught us.
Oh, shit.
Well, I want to briefly tell you about Fantastic Four.
I don't want you to briefly tell me about it.
It's the, I mean,
I want you to tell me what's wrong with it because I love the actors.
Oh.
But the idea, well, everything I've heard is sad superhero thing. So how sad are we?
I'll say this. The first 5 minutes, I was like, this is going to be explorers slash Spielberg, early Spielberg, like really fun. The little kids are getting together and they're inventing stuff, and it's got this nice tone. And then it immediately goes into this science fair type deal where Reed Richards gets kicked out of the science fair because he breaks a fucking basketball.
That sounds like Fantastic
Four,
though.
He just created transportation or teleportation, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? So this movie, it has obviously studio tinkering behind it. I don't think Trank had a good movie here to begin with. I mean, it's
people are saying
no villain. There's no villain. There's no story. There's no villain. It takes an hour to get going.
You don't see a movie in here.
No,
that would have been good. Yeah, regardless. I mean, I don't. The original script by him and whoever the other person who wrote it, I don't know if it's his friend or not, but is touted as being actually very good.
Maybe on paper.
And he's been said, well, right, and that's a good question that I would have next. So his direction's no good in this either.
No, he's, because he can say all he wants about his version would have been better.
But is that his fault, or has he, is it he's given up, or is it actually really no good?
There. You watch this movie, you know what it reminded me of was the first X-Men. It seems like he's trying to ape Bryan Singer's style. Well, get Bryan Singer to do the fucking thing then. Don't get Josh Trank to do it, because he has no stamp of signature, and all it feels like is a copy of a copy. And no wonder Fox wanted them to go in that original X-Men mold. And even the color palette is very similar to that original X-Men. Mm-hmm. The kind of downbeat attitude everyone has.
Which
the fact that
they
don't do anything. They're just kind of assembling. And they do like one minor task. And it's all a big setup for something now that we'll never see. It's really all for naught is all I can really say about it.
What's the seriousness issue, isn't it? I mean, you're taking something – Fantastic Four is never meant to be serious. It's a hokey thing. And it can have serious points to it. Look at the look at the Corman movie even has some serious points to it. But it should overall be fairly fun and stupid, right? It always has been, even in comic form, you know. And there's been serious issues and serious things dealt with in it, but it should be silly, right? It just should be.
It's just a missed effort. It's not the worst thing in the world. I didn't hate it, but I just watched it and it went by so quickly. It's 100 minutes, an hour and 40.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so it plays and it's extremely forgettable. I mean, I told you, it makes the Green Lantern movie look like the Avengers.
So they should have just kept going with what they had, which is what I've strongly felt that they should have done, because I really liked those.
A third film in that series would have made more than this, obviously.
And I thought it would have been great because the original cast, while I love this other cast, was pitch perfect for that. And the tone was great.
This has I'm telling you, this is X-Men 1. This is Bryan Singer, Christopher Nolan-esque bullshit. So, I mean, it's forgettable. People will have forgotten about it by the time the reboot happens.
Oh, God.
I want to know what you thought about Chappie, because I didn't care for Chappie.
You didn't like this. Well, let me ask you, do you like District 9 better or worse than Chappie?
I like District 9 a whole lot better.
A whole lot better. Okay, I'm the exact opposite. They're basically the same fucking movie.
Yeah.
But I was just never a fan of District 9. It felt choppy to me, and I didn't like the way that it dealt with the aliens and then the human guy.
I would say that's exactly my review of this movie.
That's the difference. Well, interestingly enough, I felt this was more coherent and just worked better for me. So we're just exactly the opposite on it. I really love this movie. And I think it's Blomkamp's best work.
Wow, that's impressive for you to say that, because I felt I thought the family aspect was forced. I thought that the villain was interesting, kind of the drug dealer guy with the shootout, and so I thought that was an interesting character.
He's not the villain.
I know. I thought
he's a side villain.
But Hugh Jackman's kind of, I thought, wandering around in there.
I thought he was great. I loved that it was weird and it didn't have.
It's definitely weird.
People kept to their, like, Hugh Jackman didn't become some, I don't know, because you read about it, it's like, oh, Hugh Jackman's against artificial intelligence, but he wasn't. He wasn't against artificial intelligence. He was against anyone else getting in his way, right? That was it. He was very, so everyone in this is so human. And the idea of, you know, artificial intelligence, what is it to be human? Hugh Jackman wants only humans to be in control of military equipment. He doesn't want to have some robot do it or artificial intelligence in a way. But because his whole thing is for his project is that the human's going to make the right decision, right? It's going to have emotion and all this stuff. And this whole movie's about emotions fucked up, right? It makes you do bad things when you have emotions.
I cared for this about the same level as the last year's RoboCop. You thought this was better?
Oh, this is tons better than RoboCop.
I felt the exact same level of way better. I really love this. Chappie's a great character. I did think that they did a great job with him.
Yeah, and you do fall in love with him. I really thought this was a grown-up version of Short Circuit, a rated R version. Really, the ending blew me away because just the choices of he just went all the way with it. And you don't see that very often, especially nowadays. Everyone's so safe, and this movie is not safe.
I'm amused here because these are the exact things that you hate in Elysium and District 9.
No, Elysium and District 9 have serious overtones, political and social overtones to them. This does not have that. It really doesn't. What it has is themes, and this is like what a story should be. You know, you can get your point across without slapping me in the face with it. You know, and not only that, Elysium. If you're making a movie like Elysium, don't make it about healthcare. I mean, seriously, it doesn't. That's a horrendous. What? I don't know. Fuck that. I really like
you.
This
really,
movie.
You were really enchanted by Chappie. I thought that it was a great character in a wandering movie there. But I do think that it deserves a look.
The movie does wander, but I think his movies just do that.
Yeah, but it is worth a look. I think just for the Chappie character alone, in my opinion, and you like it a lot.
I think most people, if they like District 9, will like this because it's essentially the same movie.
Did you catch the unauthorized Full House story last night on Lifetime?
You know what? I had it all queued up, and then I forgot to watch it.
Yeah, I DVR'd it myself, but I did watch it. This was like a Lifetime's Sharknado, if you will. This was like their ultra hashtag event. They were trying to get the world all in a furor. And really, it was all for
naught.
Did it work? Because this is a very interesting project in the sense that this is an unauthorized
Jesse's.
But unlike that Saved by the Bell one last year that was based on Screech's memoir, however false that was, it's still based on something that was published. This is based on nothing but just public record
hearsay?
Interviews. I mean, this is just hearsay, fucking fluff. I mean, this is based on nothing. It's just written. So everything – there's nothing new here. I mean, I didn't learn one thing I didn't know about the show previously, other than the fact that maybe Bob Saget and Dave Coyier.
Well, how much do you know about?
You
should tell us how much you know about the show before you say
okay.
that.
Okay,
okay, there's a lot, right? Obviously, you're a Full Housey.
I got a question for you. You want to know trivia?
Okay.
How did the Tanner's mom die?
Well, I don't know because I don't remember the show. I have literally not seen the show.
She was killed in a car accident. I think she was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh, that is true. I do remember that.
See, you know, you Kimmy Gibbler loving motherfucker. I knew you loved
it. I do know who Kimmy Gibbler. I know who everyone is, but I don't remember.
Don't
no, I do know, but I don't remember. So, but you're right. If that's the case that you're just reminded of shit that you knew, then yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. Mm-hmm. Although I think the guy playing Bob Saget did a fairly good job at conveying what Saget was all about. I think he comes off the best in here. But really, this isn't a smear job on anybody. And at least it doesn't result back to that annoying tactic that Saved by the Bell did, or at least the Lifetime movie, where they stopped and talked to the camera and broke the fourth wall.
You think the guy playing Bob Saget has a shot at the How I Met Your Mother Lifetime movie? Yeah.
Inevitably, that's coming.
As the narrator, yeah.
I think that this should pretty much put the nail in the coffin of these things. I know it was probably a ratings hit, but these are becoming so perfunctory and so just uninspired in every level that it's just watching actors play dress up and not even very good at that. So nothing to see here. Move along. This is not the droid you're looking for. Move along.
I guess it's not surprising.
Now, what about Maggie? This is the Schwarzenegger zombie flick. I kind of wanted to see this.
Did you see? Oh, so you didn't see this. I thought maybe you saw this.
No.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, that's disappointing.
It is so disappointing because the first act I thought was really good. And I'm so with this, or I really just wanted to be with it because it's got my guy in it. Yeah,
tradition do.
And Abigail Breslin's really good. The acting is great. So it's not their fault. The movie is so artsy-fartsy, so slow. Every ounce of action that's in that trailer and you know, anticipation or just all the emotion that's in that trailer where you think, oh my God, you know, what's he going to do? How's he going to deal with the situation is completely absent in this movie.
It looks drained of color and energy, honestly.
It really is. It's just they meander along. I mean, the first act, obviously you learn everything you need to know. And then every other act after that is just a continuation of that. You know, it's almost like you're stuck in a loop. She's a zombie. Oh no, how sad. I get it. Like, can you do something? Can we up the stakes in some way? You know, and it just never does that. So it's just the first act over and over and over again.
Does it end satisfyingly? I mean, is there...
No,
is
it's a horrible ending.
Yeah. Right. I thought actually, it was very ambiguous.
Well, it's not... No, it's not ambiguous. It's totally tied down. Horrible ending, though. Just in the sheer... The way this movie's made... This movie's cheap. Very cheap. And I hate to say that because, you know, it's one thing to have a movie that looks cheap. It's another thing to notice, oh, that's cheap, oh, that's cheap, oh, that's cheap. You know, by the eighth time, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, you're weighing on the movie at this point. You know, it feels like you didn't put enough into this. But the ending is just, the ending decides that it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger's story, and I hate that. Because it certainly isn't Abigail Breslin's story. I don't know whose fucking story it is.
It's the father's story. It's actually both of them. Dealing with the daughter. That's what the whole
it's
point
nobody's
was.
Story. It's so meandering. It's really both of their stories, but the ending just for me decides that it's her story, and I hated that.
So it pains you, but you can't recommend this one, huh?
I can't because I really wanted to. It's such a great idea for a movie. They deal with the zombie plague as if it's the AIDS epidemic, you know, and it's such a great idea, and they kind of deal with family dynamics as if she has AIDS and stuff, you know, cause she's contagious and this kind of stuff. So it's so, it's just so relative to the world we live in today. And it just fails, to be exciting in any way whatsoever.
That's disappointing. Like I said, I wanted to see this one, but now I think I'm going to stay away from it. Cause I had a feeling it was going to be like that. I thought there were some touches in the trailer.
Yeah, it's not worth watching. Like I say, and it's only an hour and a half long, which got me even more excited because I thought, oh, fuck, this is going to be a wonderful movie. It feels like 2 hours. Honestly, so slow.
I saw Vacation this week, and I got to admit, I'm on the fence on this one. I can't really recommend it for any good reason. It's not as funny as something, say, like Horrible Bosses 2 from last year that I really enjoyed.
But it feels
enjoyed,
like you kind of want to recommend it.
But I kind of want to because I like Ed Helms. I like Christina Applegate. I laughed at some of the jokes. I thought Chris Hemsworth was finally used to good effect outside of the Marvel movies. I thought that this was amusing in parts, but by no means a world beater. I mean, I think you could do a lot worse to go rent, you know, this and watch it at home. But I think upon repeated viewings, this might grow on me a little bit more is what I'm starting to get the – because I think back to a couple of things. Stars on the site and – it's nowhere near as good as those original ones, but then it's got some really odd things in it. But then there are some bits that score. So, I don't know. It's kind of a take it or leave it situation on this one, you know.
Let me offer you up what I consider to be a wonderful family vacation movie, RV.
Yeah. I thought,
how's
about
it compare?
I think I like RV better.
I really like RV actually. Be
I think RV is underrated.
Yeah.
That's the Robin Williams, Barry Sonnenfeld movie from about 10, 15 years ago. And I thought about that a lot in this movie because that's obviously the one that was Griswold-esque. And they did a lot of interesting, funny things, especially with things that pertain to the RV, cleaning out the toilets and shit like that. And the whole commune of RV campers. This doesn't have that per se, but it does have a lot of jokes about GPSs and you know, new cars
as family friendly or oriented.
No, this
is
very
radar.
Right? This is actually pretty vulgar, and I like that about this. But I think that actually might have hurt it at the box office just a bit. But this is, they're saying, you know, modest level hit. It's made what, 50 million here, so people are seeing this, but I don't think we'll ever see this incarnation of the Griswolds again. But for what it is, it's a good one off. I have a strange sense of humor when it comes to comedies. I like That's My Boy, and nobody else in America seems to. So
you won me over on that one, so
thank you. Hopefully Ted 2 tickles your funny bone too. I still think that's the funniest one of the summer, in my opinion. I'd put this one just about on the level of a train wreck, so there's your equation.
Okay. Let me, train wreck equals
vacation plus Ted
times
2
RV squared
minus entourage. Okay, equals
you got a beautiful mind over there, buddy.
Thank you. Writing on window panes as I do this, want you to know. So, all right, streaming online pick of the week. What do you got?
What do I got? So we talked a little about this off air. My four, because I have a no-no movie. But I also have a 4 movie, and I would say if you haven't seen it, or even if you have, and maybe you need to revisit it, the Nicolas Cage movie, Lord of War,
yes,
is so fucking good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Andrew Niccol just did such a great job directing. And everyone else in it, Jared Leto's so good in it, Ian Holm.
Ethan Hawke.
Even though they're, they're kind of, a lot of people are barely kind of in it, but they're so great. And it's such an interesting movie, and Nicolas Cage is really good in it.
Yeah, he's really good in that movie. That's maybe one of his last great performances.
Yeah, just really toned down. Across the board, I thought was a really good movie. So definitely check that out.
Now, you said you had one that was a no-no, and I guessed that. I was like, I know exactly.
You said you
what
knew
it
what it was, so I want to know if you actually know, because obviously these are both new.
Yeah, and they're related, you said. So I knew what it was before you even said that. It's next.
It is next.
I knew it. I'm on the same wavelength. Man.
Which is so fucking bad. Next is one of the worst Nicolas Cage movies.
But it's one of the best because he's played a magician. And it it's so stupid. So okay. For him.
You know, watch it if you want to watch it, because it's bad. But, you know, to be fair, I've seen the whole thing.
If you ever want to see
I didn't stop watching. Oh, my God.
On camera. She looks so
uncomfortable. She's so hot in it, too.
She looks so uncomfortable fucking around with him.
Of course. He's old even at that point, you know?
Oh, man. That's a bad Nicolas Cage one and a good Nicolas Cage one, so that's good.
Yeah, watch it, I guess. But it's bad.
I'm picking Homefront as my...
which is so good.
The Jason Statham movie written by Sylvester Stallone and starred James Franco, along with Winona Ryder. This was a movie I saw bits and pieces of, but you've been... tell me how good it was for a while now. I finally sat down and watched it, and I was really enjoying this. It's not going to win any Oscars. It has no pretensions.
It should, though. Everyone's so good in it, man. Statham, Franco, Kate Bosworth, so good in it. Winona Ryder, and it's written so well. Oh, my God. I love this movie.
Extremely pulpy. I mean, this is good, juicy pulp fiction, the kind that I would say, they don't make anymore. They do. It's just you got to hunt and search for it. And this is one that got buried because it was released at a bad time during Thanksgiving. It's a terrible time to market this shit. And the marketing itself wasn't very good. And the box cover, I mean, I look at the goddamn icon on Netflix. I never watch it because it looks so generic. But I watched it, and I loved every single minute of this movie. I really got into this. Highly recommend you watch Homefront if you haven't done so. And Lord of War, as Trevor said. It's a great, great movie as well. Let's do the Trailer Addict.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Ooh.
Did you hear Patrick Stewart said that he's not going to ever, you'll never see Jean-Luc Picard again?
Yeah, I know. What was that thing that he's doing?
What, 9 more Wolverine movies?
No, that's Hugh Jack.
What, is he blowing Ian McKellen? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, it was like, I can't remember what it is. He's like, he's keeping it
talk.
He's keeping it real. Thank you. That's Blunt Talk.
Blunt Talk on Stars, where he plays a very interesting news anchor. So it's actually not a bad show. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
He's funny in it. He's got an underrated gift for a comedy, strangely enough.
Well, yeah, because he's the captain.
Because he's the motherfucking captain. Makes it so.
Even if he's trying to get away from it, he's not going to be able to.
Let's talk about these trailers. What do we got here? What do we got? What do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with The Witch.
I like this trailer. This thing freaked me out a little bit. This is like the good version of The Village, right? This is this is good M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't know if it's the good version of The Village, but it does look really good. I love the time period, which is like 1600s.
Puritans, pilgrims.
Yeah, right? Just a great time for a witch movie. And freaky, because it's kind of like camping, right? Like, you're just out there in the middle of nowhere with your family. Scary. These people live like that. So this time period in of itself, I think, is a little bit scary just on its own without the supernatural, right? Because you might fucking die anyways.
Yeah, they're so vulnerable to the elements. And then you throw in the supernatural element, imagine, it becomes even scarier.
Yeah, it's like the Oregon Trail, right? Everyone's going to get dysentery. You're all going to shit yourselves to death.
And that's if your wagon doesn't get surrounded by Indians. I mean,
exactly.
Rude. So, I thought this trailer was very effective. The Witch, I think this is going to come out in a small release in October, but it will be hopefully platforming and coming to a city near you, because this looks extremely effective. I think this is one of the better trailers on the show. Next, we have Victor Frankenstein, which is going to be, looks like a possible, hopeful franchise from 20th Century Fox, starring James McAvoy as the inventor, and we have Daniel Radcliffe as Igor.
You said Victor, you didn't say Sherlock Holmes 3?
No, I didn't. Or Van Helsing Part 2.
Van Helsing 2. Yeah, this looks fucking horrible, man.
I thought this trailer looked pretty bad, too.
It just looks like we're trying, well, just what we said, right? Van Helsing, Sherlock Holmes, Victor Frankenstein, right? This just sounds like some producer, studio-driven thing that's just, it just doesn't look good. Not only that, but when you put these two actors together, all I can think is Harry Potter and, Professor Xavier.
X, yeah.
I can't get past it, especially with them together. It somehow magnifies it.
My problem with this was that I got like an extraordinary League of Gentlemen vibe out of this.
Yes, because it's so fun, right? Oh, it's so much fun.
But wasn't Universal going to go back and redo their catalog of all their movie monsters? Does this not step into that territory somehow? I was a little surprised that this wasn't a Universal product.
Don't, I know, because it looks like one, right? But they don't right. They don't own the rights to those. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. I guess they don't own the rights to Mary Shelley's stuff.
They could do whatever they want, but yeah.
This looks like a non-starter at the gate, so I wasn't very impressed with this. It seems like neither were you. The next trailer is Eli Roth's The Green Inferno, which is about a bunch of rainforest activists who go off on a peacekeeping mission, and their plane crashes. Next thing you know,
they're doing? I thought they were trying to save the rainforest.
How exactly do you do that, I guess, besides making peace with somebody? Greenpeace. Who knows?
I'm sorry. God, he had one in the chamber for that, didn't you?
Yeah, you like that?
You're right there. How the hell you do that without making peace, huh, buddy? Yeah.
You just give me, right. Give me a fastball and home runs. But no, this thing looks pretty startling, especially, and this is a remake of Cannibal Holocaust, right? The 70s horror film.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it looks like, right? Something from the 70s, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think this is actually a very effective trailer, more so than I thought it was going to be. And I'm kind of excited to see this. I want to see this now.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, I love Eli Roth has this sick, twisted thing where he takes normal, good people and just fucks them up.
And he also has so I mean, it. I will never underestimate that again because I thought the writing on Hostel 2, which is a strange thing to say, has such a great twist in it.
But it's so true.
It played with
and
conventions.
I love Hostel 2.
And it turned things on its ear to the point where I thought, okay, this guy's at least thinking a lot more than your typical guy working in this genre. Mm-hmm. So I can never discount him after that. And I want to see this because I'm thinking.
Because
this
you wonder,
have the same kind of
yeah,
element.
What might happen, right? And you know these people have to. Get out of the situation in some way, or maybe they don't. Fuck, I don't know. He's kind of an enigma in that way, but at least you know it's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be something different.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Speaking of those two terms, I guess the Turbo Kid is looking to be exactly that, which is kind of a very knowing 80s throwback. I mean, this looks like it has elements.
Yeah, this is a fan
BMX
movie.
Band-Aid, Bandits to
right,
Waterworld
Band-Aid.
To yeah, no BMX Band-Aids. That's what I was doing when I was on my BMX, and I thought I was like thrashing, but I wasn't. There was
I'm
no rad for me.
Hey, mommy!
I saw rad, and I was like, yes, I can do that, and this guy fucked up. But Turbo Kid, I mean, this is fan made. This is obviously a
right. Well, it looks like a fan movie,
right? About this, it reminds me of things that have been popular recently, like the Miami Connection and shit like that.
Like an Alamo Drafthouse movie.
Yeah. But
so, what do they call it? Grindhouse type thing. Yeah, definitely.
The thing with this kind of stuff is that I get the joke so quickly that I get over the joke. Very quickly. Even in this trailer, I was done with it before the trailer was.
I understand what you're saying, but I fell in love with this. I would watch the shit out of this movie. I'm down with it. It reminded me. I mean, I will say there have been movies that you have recommended to me. What was the Australian?
Dead End Drive-In.
Thank you, Dead End Drive-In, which is very similar to this. And so I'm just hoping this could be like this because I love the juxtaposition of these fun 80s. Music and then the looks of love and like we're having so much fun and then they're literally just blood sporting everywhere and they're just destroying shit.
Yeah, done right. This is like good Ozploitation, like a Brian Trenchard Smith movie. And Trevor mentioned Dead End Drive in there. If you haven't seen that, that's a great movie from the 80s. That's very fun and sci-fi stuff. But this kind of reminded me of something called Evil Alien Conquerors. Remember that movie?
Oh, God.
It kind of reminded me of that with that stupid kind of knowing.
I hope it's not, because I'm not a fan of that.
That movie grew on me after a while. Yeah. But something like that, though, where like it's a knowing nod. So it takes a little bit something out of
sure.
it. When it's so like wink, wink, you know, we know what we're doing. And this is, you know, so it seemed very calculated in a way.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
But still looked pretty good. We got The Keeping Room next, which looked very similar, actually, to The Witch in the sense that it's the same time period, but I think about a couple hundred years after.
No, this 1800? Is, yeah. Okay, this is a Western, right?
This is a Western, but this is like Straw Dogs, right, in Western form.
God, that is exactly what I thought. It's Straw Dogs, yeah. So it's when all females, two sisters and their slave, their African-American slave, are stuck in their home, and these men are trying to get in and, you know, do manly presumably, things to them. Yeah, you know, we don't know, right?
Them. Yeah. And they're trying to stave off these savages, these wild outlaws.
What do you think? What do you think of the cast at all? I mean, Britt Marling, I love. I think she's great. Haley Stanfield, I think, was good.
Where do I know her from? Where is Britt Marling from?
She's from a bunch of stuff, mostly
independent right?
stuff. Yeah. So you know, like The East, which was also had what's her face in
it? Well, I know I've seen the face from somewhere, and I know Haley Stanfield was
The East had Ellen Page in it. Yeah, and she's also has that song about masturbation right now. It's hot.
Oh,
but it doesn't look like she masturbates in this one.
Well, that's
I don't know if you remember Another Earth.
Yeah.
I recommended had starred Britt Marling.
She's Sam really Worthington good. In this, who I always get confused with Joel Edgerton.
What do you think? Oh, he looks good, right?
Yeah, finally.
Finally. I know, I agree. That was the thing that surprised me when I saw him and I thought, oh boy. And then holy shit. Like, he finally found his fucking role.
This movie, it looks like you know what you're going to get with it in a lot of ways, but I do like this kind of stuff because this plays on. We're talking about a lot of horror movies really on this show. This is, in a sense, another horror movie because it plays on that fear of somebody getting into your home and your confined right. space and, you know, doing all these things to you, which every human being can relate to. So I think that this will be unnerving, like it says in the trailer, quite a bit. But I respond better to things like The Witch, you know, where it's kind of that supernatural element as opposed to the human evil. I prefer the supernatural evil in my horror movies.
I'm not particular. I'll take either one.
Yeah, any horror will do.
Any horror will do.
That's what she said.
Tell me it's no different for you. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, a port in any storm? Is that what we're saying nowadays?
Oh, exactly, my friend.
Can you believe we've already wrapped up another show? We've done 280 of these motherfuckers, and these things just fly by.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, can you believe it? I know you guys can't believe it because this episode is coming to an end. We want to invite you all to go to moviemavericks.com, read new reviews, listen to past podcasts, or just podcasts in general. I mean, they're all over the place now.
Yeah.
iTunes, Stitcher, you can find us on there. Hey, like us on Facebook, rate the podcast, conversate with Trevor and I. Do whatever you like, but just keep listening. We all want to thank you guys for your support. We're amazed at how many people tune in each week. We enjoy talking with you guys and obviously talking with each other, so... Speaking for my man over there, Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we, of course, are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!